Light Transitions Radio is a dialogue about personal and planetary change. Acknowledging that we are all at unique points on a continuum of change, Light Transitions Radio seeks out innovators and creators, engages them in spontaneous and deep dialogues, and shares these conversations with the world. Light Transitions Radio's mission is to help individuals and communities achieve positive transformation. Hello, everyone. My name is Robert Davis, and I would like to welcome you to Light Transitions Radio. Today, we're very, very honored to welcome Sarah Weissman to Light Transitions Radio. Aloha and welcome, Sarah.
Oh, Robert, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get started, as customary, I'm going to read a little bit about Sarah's pathway. Sarah Weissman is a spiritual teacher, author, and intuitive, and experienced a spiritual awakening when she unexpectedly received teachings which began, "The purpose of life is soul growth." She is the author of Becoming Your Best Self, Writing the and Your Psychic Child. An award-winning singer-songwriter, she has released 4 CDs with her band Martyrs of Sound. A popular presenter, she's a featured columnist for Retailing Insight, top contributor to Daily Om, and hosts her radio show, Ask Sarah. She offers private intuitive consults and training at sarahweissman.com. Sarah, before we go into your new book, Becoming Your Best Self, I wanted to ask the question, as far as your spiritual awakening, you state it was unexpected. What were you involved with at that point in your life as a precursor to that moment?
Yeah, you know, I think that I would say, that's an interesting way of looking at it, I think I was involved in the motherhood, raising a family. I was married at the time. Mm-hmm. I had, I think, 4 kids at home, ages probably newborn to 17. I was Catholic. So just living this very, you know, kind of, the joke is the soccer mom, but that's kind of what I was doing at that point. I was just running kids around and raising kids and being a wife. And it was a very mainstream sort of existence, or a type of mainstream existence that some of the listeners will, you know, have resonate. And then I ended up having what I would call a near-death experience in a plane, and everything began, that was back in 2000, everything just shifted. Like, when I track back, that is when the shift is, you know, clearly demarcated, or the line, the line from old life to new life sort of started there. And that was when everything began to change for me.
Well, there's nothing like a good near-death experience.
So true. So very true. Yeah. Just to really wake you up in the morning. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is so many individuals now are having different permutations of that near-death mm-hmm. experience with mm-hmm. the fear process, and all of what's occurring planetarily is really catalyzing, I think, for so many, as you have pointed out in your works, in particular to providing tools for individuals to access this energetic opulence that we now find ourselves in.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot about the idea of how quickly things are moving right now. And, you know, this idea that time, or at least our perception of time, has really speeded up. Like right now in my own life, I have my mom is in the hospital in Seattle, very, very, very ill. And then in a few days, I'll take my youngest daughter for a very major surgery in a hospital in Portland. Mm. And the level of stress and You know, it's like you just get to a point of, I can't go any faster on the merry-go-round, and you just step out of all those reactions of fear and panic and anxiety, and you just move to this new state of, well, here we are. Let's just be in this moment and, you know, just be present to whatever is going to be the, you know, the future of those situations. So it's interesting because we speed up so fast. It's like the old fear methodologies don't work anymore. They just become irrelevant. We're going at such a speed of opening at this point right now, is the way I see it.
Yes. Well, and that opening also provides that, again, that catalyst for us to find that point of reasonability within ourselves that is logical for sustaining ourselves in these times, which is that sacred space, or that understanding of a dhyana yoga, where the gap within that gap, which is a free space, it's a safe space, it's a space where we can connect with the divine and find peace.
Yes. Well, it's funny, you know, I'm not a yoga practitioner, but I live with one, and he has a cousin who you might even know, Thomas Forrest, who's very much into what you just said about yoga. And I guess I would use different terminology for the same, you know, the same thought there.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's interesting because so much of my experience has been with working with guides and entities and angelic beings to some degree, which wasn't at all what I ever expected for my life. But in looking at these moments of, you know, like in a hospital setting or what came to me instead, I mean, I know that the guidance is always there or that the gap is always there, but what really was pervasive, instead of this, you know, I guess needing to know the future or even needing advice, there was just this sense of, I remember at one point during the time I was just recently visiting my mom, I went out to the garden there in the hospital and just looked with amazement at the trees and flowers, and there was a little kid's daycare playing there, and it was just like, oh, so much beauty, just the comfort pouring in from the day-to-day things, just in noticing and appreciating those, as opposed to, you know, running to the guides for my guidance, as I often have done. Just this day-to-day miracle presented so fully was really something.
And that's a feeling that's growing. I can see it around me in individual eyes. And that context of aloha is where you invite another to participate in that moment of reverence for the absolute mystery and magicality of being alive.
Yes, absolutely. You know, my father was a professor at University of Washington, so I have a lot of the similar to you, Robert, the West Coast connections we already talked about, you know, the islands. And but I spent most summers, because he would work over in Hawaii, and I spent most summers living there. We always rented somebody's house, and he would work, and we would just be there, you know, and getting that. I don't know, the vibrational level there is just really something, and really, really something there. So that was something nice to have as a kid, to be exposed to that.
Yes, the veil is, I was in Kauai, and all the different islands are magical. It's almost looked at as different chakra points. So it's often revered in that way, but just the veil is so thin, and it's so invitational to just be, be there is okay. The space of being is held sacred. So once I was there, I've always carried it with me.
Yes. Well, I the funniest thing I ever, because I always like to laugh a lot whenever possible. But the thing about Kauai, actually, I did a conference there maybe 2 years ago, and I spoke and taught a little mini workshop taking folks into meditation. And usually in Portland or Seattle, or California or Colorado, which are places I go, you know, kind of a lot, I'll have to raise the vibration in the room before we can get started. Mm. And with the lovely folks of Kauai, I had to bring the vibration down before we could get started, because everybody was out there in crystalline energy, and it was pretty, pretty awesome.
Well, in your new book, Becoming Your Best Self, you describe collective consciousness, and you say we have access to this information. Can you explain that?
Sure. So the part of my opening or awakening after the near-death experience and then some other things that happened after that was I began to receive what I called at the time in 2004 and then 2008, I began to receive channeled writing or spiritual teachings in writing. I would just sit and the writing would just come. So for my first book, there's a lot of that writing in there. It's called The 33 Lessons. And this was an opening. There were guides that brought this information to me. I didn't, you know, really believe in guides at the time, but they showed up anyway. But some of the ideas that came through that writing were all about, of course, you know, oneness and collective consciousness and the idea that we are moving to the place of knowing ourselves as, you know, one of the one, as each soul being its own sort of universe, all collectively gathered into this bigger soul. So when it came time to write this new book, my third book, I wanted to talk about intuition in a way that also tied in this idea of oneness. And the spiritual teachings that I get are always about, you know, collective consciousness is always, you know, around us. It's like the cloak or coverlet that is always not even just on our shoulders, but in our hearts and in the distance. And there's no time that we're separate for it. And so in intuition, it's not like you're getting new information or accessing something different that you didn't know already. You're just bringing information that you already knew from everything that we all already know forever, in the past and future, all time, all space, all matter. You're just bringing that into your awareness. And so some people call this Akashic Records, or there's lots of different terms, but collective consciousness seemed a simpler and more modern term that I felt more people could understand. Sometimes I use the reverse idea of that, group thought, and that's a little bit more, group thought is maybe the bad brother of collective consciousness. It's more our lower selves manifesting as the collective. But all of these parts are there, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the divine. It's all just part of oneness.
Well, it's that process of authenticating it for ourselves when we do bring it and set the table with it. And that's what these times, I think, are affording us, the energetic ride that this experience allows is for that embrace of a wider spectrum of who and what we are. and to be able to live with that and internalize that, and again, using that intuition, you know, as that authenticator, an allowant that really allows us to participate. And so becoming your best self is such a great title. It's a great title because it's not an assuming title at all. And in hearing you articulate this, the depth of information is very strong and bright. So it's a very, very, I think, an interesting and a positive approach to making your book accessible.
Yeah. Well, you know, Robert, you and many of the listeners have a, you know, extremely high level of understanding. You've been probably, I would guess, working on the integration of this information, and myself too. You know, we've all been working on this for quite some time now. But there are so many others in the world who are just beginning. You know, it's funny because I get these emails from people, and it's like, who's not having a spiritual awakening right now? It's like you know, they're just, it's just like a virus going around. But the thing that I'm finding, and part of the bridge that I am, is becoming a very strong bridge to folks that are more mainstream, that maybe don't have, you know, a yoga practice or understanding of anything Eastern or even a religious practice, and giving them some tools to make what I call direct connection with divine universe. Giving them some tools to do it in a way that they can, you know, just really actively use and understand. Almost like they're having all these experiences. They're seeing guides. They're having breakthroughs. They're having emotional opening. Everything's happening all at once. And I know from my own experience, it's not always pleasant or easy to be going through the transformation. And I found that just knowing how to go into a trance state so that a guide could appear was an enormously comforting gift during my own process. And so the book is very step-by-step. I mean, you and I are talking in a certain way now, but the book is like really, really a primer of how to do spiritual intuition. And it takes people, you know, one step at a time. This is how to sense energy. This is how to see movies in your head. This is how to connect with a guide. You know, let me take you through it and show you how to do it, so they'll have that comfort and help with their own integration.
And it's exactly happening now in the multitudes that you were speaking of, and to allow them to be gifted with information that supports their process and allows them to understand that it will be okay.
Yeah.
That it is going to change. That whatever process they're in will be a transforming experience in the sense that it will move into something else. And so often people in different states of change are locked in conceptually, feeling as though this degree of discomfort is going to be with them for an extended period of time. And it's this process of growth and that allowance of really an individual in the sense of their own understanding and understanding that they will be okay. So it's your approach is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, one of the words I just did a session with somebody, and there was some information that a lot of change was about to, you know, come into that person's life, and that person said, you know that would be unthinkable. What you're saying would be unthinkable, and the only answer was yes. That's why you're supposed to think about it, to sort of look at the unthinkable. Because you're right, it is going to change. That's the new Nike slogan for the metaphysical world, is it is going to change. And the unthinkable is going to happen at whatever level of, you know, whether that means job or relationship or you're going to move or the world is having, the earth, the planet is having its own, you know, eruptions and spoutings, and it is going to be changing, and it is changing now. And so all of the ways that we used to use to control our anxiety and to control our fears about this upcoming change, it's like those don't work anymore. We're in the moment where change has arrived. So we have to approach it in a with a different aspect of ourselves than what we used to rely on.
The sanity of source connection.
Yes. And I think, you know, we were talking about Hawaii vibration being so high, and when people do have direct connection with source, whether that comes as purely, you know, meditation, yoga, those ways that take you to a certain layer or level of what I would call the bliss zone, or whether they go a little closer to earth reality and go into the layer or level where they're reaching divine entities and guides and angels and so forth, the departed, doesn't matter. You become infused with this, become infused with this vibration of the universe. You become reminded every time you go in, and that begins to, you know, to change you, to change your own vibration, so you're better able to be flexible as to how to look at things and how to think about things as all this change goes on.
And the benefit is in connecting with others that are co-experiencing that type or style of process. And the dynamic that's created is a dynamic that can change stars.
Yes. Well, I would say the number two thing that happens, the number one thing is people come and say, this and this and this is going on. And I'm like, well, you're having a spiritual awakening. Welcome to that. And that's number one. And number two is I feel so alone. Nobody else is having this experience. I must be odd, you know. And it's like, no. And so, again, I'm dealing with, you know, kind of a mainstream group here. It's like, oh, well, let me put you in touch with some other folks. You can compare notes there and see what's going on. And just the relief of like, oh, my gracious, I'm not alone at all. In fact, you know, here's a whole room full of people having this experience right alongside of me, and that is very useful to folks. just funny that way. Sometimes just in workshops or lectures, I'll just have people just turn around and look at each other and be like, look, these are the souls with you right now. Here we are. Just look and enjoy.
Yes.
All doing it together. Yeah.
For some time, I was and have been involved in a process of trying to manifest the Safe Space Inn, which is a community style system of caring. Individuals are allowed to go through their process in such a way where they're loved and cared for and allowed completely outside of an allopathic influence. The safe space in is the concept. Because sometimes we just have to walk out the door, and there's no place to go in conventional society. So that kind of meeting ground that you were speaking of, where individuals could communicate, this is perhaps another variant of that that would actually house individuals and provide them the nutritious food they would need, and to love them, care for them, and allow them their rite of passage. Time. So that's another thing.
Yeah, and do you mean specifically rite of passage as transition into different lifetime, or just rite of passage in? To the next stage of consciousness or whatever, working through their issue, or is it more for both?
It's more for both. It's a vision quest. It's a multidimensional vision quest whereby, again, in a almost transpersonal way, individuals are allowed to go through that change and emergence. But it's a communicized process because at different stages of our lives, whether we're in an India process, going through a particular phase of sati, or whatever it be called, where oftentimes that needs to be allowed completely, and our culture cuts it off with different types of medications, and often people are not able to fulfill that fully. So it's a primary system of service.
Yes. Well, that makes so much sense to me. And I'm not usually really fixated on the whole medical hospital thing. That's just kind of where I find myself now. But
certainly,
in being in all of the various intensive care units and lobbies of intensive care units and lobbies of regular hospital, and in seeing all the people hanging out at hospitals lately, and realizing, like, goodness, all that, you know, medical equipment is there on the inside working away. And then in the lobbies, it's just the wilderness. I mean, where are the counselors and the folks and the healers? That's where the need, I mean, it just opened my eyes to, my gracious, the need of people in grief or people in waiting or people in anxiety. And, so what you're providing as service for people going through whatever it is that they need to move through, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Yeah. And that's what I try and provide, I guess. Well, I have a radio show too, and we work pretty hard. Like, I don't have guests because we work on skills. Each week, I really work hard to provide, like, online community so that people can get it for free. So that even if you don't have resources to, you know, get the book or do a session or come to a workshop, you can get those podcasts. I know you do that too, but it's really important that the accessibility is there, because you never know. You're randomly online and your heart is breaking and boom, there pops up some resource that may save your life or change your life. So I want to make sure that the tools are available to folks in a really accessible way, regardless of, you know, even if you're a teenager, maybe you don't have any income, or you just don't have any income right now. It's important to have that be there.
Yes, yes, that's the model. That's the model that works, and it's you can hear it. It's being called for, you know, on so many levels, because the return on that is such of really the creation of a new world.
Yes, yes, 100%. I agree. I'm having a giant back chill, which for me always means, like, yes, that's right. That's, the body tells me when the bell is rung. So that's really good.
is that tool taught in your book?
Yes. When you get a back chill, you can count on the truth. The truth has been presented to you, whether it's, you know, positive truth or so-called negative truth. A back chill. Yeah. Well, I wanted to, because you're more, or because there's this strong yogic background, yogic language that you're using, I wanted to just talk a little bit about one of the ideas. So in what I find, and again, living with, I live with a man who was a former Sikh for many years, did extensive meditation, and he's a chiropractor and hands healer, just very much a person who, you know, meditates all day long and is, you know, continually in that space. So what I found, which is a little interesting, is that when we're trying to get to the guides or angelic beings or even the departed, crossing the veil to those folks, it seems like this idea of when you go into trance or yoga or meditation or prayer, even, you're really going to a level of consciousness that's really, really high up. Like maybe we'll just for fun call it level 800, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really 800 levels. I want to make that clear. I can see people with, you know, their calculators. Where am I now? But when we go into this more this realm of intuitive information gathering, when we're trying to gather specific intuitive information, we'll only go to level, we'll just call it like level 3. So it's really, really close to regular old mundane consciousness. It's really as simple as the closing of the eyes, couple deep breaths in. I mean, for me now, I go into that, even just saying that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in now. I'm just so programmed for it. But it's a very short plane ride to this place where you can gather intuitive information. And one thing I see people doing all the time is they'll go into meditation or prayer or trying to get into intuition, but they'll go to that level 800. And when you're in that level, you're really in bliss consciousness or universal consciousness. And at that level, there's no, it's very hard to access language or imagery or symbolism. Everything's just coming in all at once. You're really absolutely existing as one in that those higher levels of consciousness. And so if you can just kind of damp it down when you're working to gather intuitive information and only take it up a couple steps, then you still have access to language and imagery and emotion and body feeling. And so it's just a slight, I just offer that as a slight difference in how, like when I teach spiritual intuition, we don't go to the highest levels of bliss, because if we go there, we'd all just hang out there together, but we wouldn't be able to see any images very clearly. So it's kind of like very, very close to Earth reality where intuitive gathering lives.
So that tuning in basically to the different frequencies, do you offer tools to basically get individuals attuned to that process of being able to distinguish the different frequencies? For them information, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So often, and so some of it's so simple, it just seems kind of ridiculous. Now, I don't use any, somebody called me like modern in my approach, and I really appreciated that because I don't use any tools. It's just all in the mind. It's just sitting quietly. No, you know, pendulums or all that stuff. There's no strong technique that has to be followed. You just sort of breathe in and breathe out. But I always have people check into their, like I just call it, you know, you could call it chakra vibrating, but because a lot of folks maybe don't know what a chakra is, you know, that come to me, I just call it, what color would your body be vibrating if you could imagine, and I don't say if you could see it, if you could imagine. And then maybe somebody says red, and I know, okay, we'll have some work to do to get their vibration raised up a little bit. They say green, I know they're real heart-oriented in that moment. But mostly just imagining the body shifting color takes the vibration up in a very, very simple way. And I like to usually work at the level of maybe blue or purple or hot pink in terms of the upper chakras. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's real easy to get. So if you started in red, like it'd be harder to get into this intuitive sweet spot. You raise yourself up to blue, and, you know, it's just an easy little bridge to cross from there. So that's one easy start. And then I just have a couple really quick little guided meditations that help people go to up to level 3, and there's some little things put into those meditations that help people kind of get their brains warmed up to the idea of visualizing, and it's quite simple. And then once they get there, of course, you know, the guides and angels and information just starts coming in, and so, you know, the guidance sort of takes it from there, the divine the divine sort of takes it from there as in terms of what's going to be imparted or what's going to be provided to that person. But mostly it's the deepest healing of whatever is the issue at hand, you know, the deepest issue at hand in their soul lesson that they're working on.
How many levels do you work with?
Well, I just find I either go into level 3, again, just a fake number, just I go into level 3 and work there for gathering. That's the level where the guides exist, the departed can come through.
Mm.
And then for my own personal, I'll just go to level 800 immediately for my own personal comfort, you know, and just to say for, you know, just, but I don't really, and then the rest, I don't know. It hasn't seemed important. It hasn't seemed important.
Yeah, yeah. I was just curious if you had gradations or how you had, when you were gifted with the information, if there were specifics as to different levels. That was the question. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they haven't, they have been, and they, I mean, the guys, there has been very little system provided. It's more just like go in and connect. Take the breath, close your eyes, go in and connect. And that's almost been, you know, connect daily, connect many times a day, exist in connection. That's really been.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, not, as opposed to going and connect at 5.7, they don't care.
Certainly.
They don't care too much. Yeah.
And that's the
but I have,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have been surprised how close it is, how the veil is so, you know, it's like, you know how our aura is just like often just right outside our skin? It's like the veil is so close. It's right there all the time. It's so near us to cross in and back and in and back. It's super easy that way.
It often awaits our invitation. So it's our opening and allowance to that, which is, again, what's so timely and beautiful about your approach, a haiku approach, because it is not complicated. And it is about being able to access it on your own terms, specific to your own energetics. So, you know, being able to float these concepts out there and let the minimalism be like a homeopathic, such as a light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's very, very, again, timely and beautiful. And I just thank you for that, you know, articulation of what it is.
Well, and the one thing that they have had me, so 2008, I received the 33 lessons. It was a big, it's all about soul growth and that concept. And then last summer, and I'm kind of working on preparing this right now, it'll be ready later in the year, they sort of provided another, it was like these deeply intensive like a few months worth of just sitting there taking down dictation while in meditation of these more spiritual teachings. And what happened this summer is this idea of, so this is kind of specific, it's the four passages of the heart, and the four passages, so people come in great pain, and then how do we move through to this place of enlightenment? And so what the guides were saying is that the passages are pain, compassion, connection, and love, and that it's a progressive opening through these four stages. And I found this, I've just been working on that extensively now. I found it pretty fascinating because so often we're told, you know, just go into enlightenment. But if you're in heart of pain, there's no way you can get there without going through some other stages of development. And so that idea of the four passages, pain, compassion, connection, love. And I was so shocked by that because compassion has always seemed, you know, pretty high up in terms of a, you know, state of being. And they were saying no. And then connection, which is the idea of oneness, I was like, well, then that's got to be the top thing, oneness. What could you do past that, you know? And they're saying no. It's love. And, of course, love is the state we easily can jettison up to but have more trouble, you know, staying in there 24/7. At least I have trouble. Maybe you're in there now all the time, Robert. I don't know. But maintaining the state, yes.
Come and go freely. Come and go freely.
Yes, it's a revolving door at this point.
It is, having compassion for ourselves.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's just funny. But that four passages is really useful to folks who kind of, you know, maybe they just looked at their pain and they're making their way through that, and then the next stage and the next stage, and it helps provide some guidance as to, you know, where are you now? This is what this passage feels like. This is what you might be experiencing. This is what you might be thinking about. So I think that was something that was given to me as a little task to work on. So I've been trying to write that very clearly and get that ready for folks who are ready to use it.
Exactly. That's where you get into different sayings, like what's been floating around for me for the last year and a half is remembrance, exertion, discipline, patience, and compassion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, different sets of words that you know, offer some degree of organizing principles as to concept, and they're out there.
So remembrance, exertion, discipline, patience, and what was the other?
Compassion.
Compassion. Yeah. That's good. And it's interesting because, you know, in your life, say exertion is not something it's not something I'm looking at very much, but I would have my own, you know, my own words, and each person would have their own concepts that were coming to their awareness, you know, to be looked at and turned over. Yeah.
So, Sarah, what does it mean to become your best self?
Oh, well, I think, originally the book was going to be entitled The Intuitive Path, which made sense because it is an intuitive handbook. But then in the choosing of the new title, I think becoming your best self is about becoming your most full and authentic self that you can in the moment of wherever you are. So it's sort of about being in the place where you are, and wherever that is, whether you're at the very beginning of your consciousness journey or whether you're very far along, being the most authentic self that you are able to access at that moment in time. So each person's best self is going to be different. You know, it's going to be as unique as they are.
Yeah, it's so very, very true. The uniqueness and the individuation of consciousness as really the doorway to the collective becoming consciousness. And so often individuals are somewhat fearful of losing identity in reference to allowance of that collective, when in fact it is, you know, the uniqueness remains. It becomes part of a note in a song. And they belong to the song, and we do belong to the song.
Yes, and each person's uniqueness provides, you know, very specific gifts that are brought to the world. Maybe my gift might be in writing and teaching, and somebody else's might be in healing, and somebody else's might be in cooking. You know, it's very diverse, but all the parts, you know, nobody wants me to use my gifts in say cooking. We don't want that. But, so So somebody else is going to have that gift of, you know, doing healing cooking and, you know, those kinds of things to nourish all of us. So, yeah, each of us has an important divine part to play. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sarah, we're kind of folding into the last part of the show, and I wanted to make sure that you had a moment or two to offer a closing comment as to where you are right now and perhaps what you see happening in the immediate future on the planet.
Yeah, on the planet, as I check in with, I try and stay away from, you know, things like New World Order and even things like a lot of folks like, say, David Wilcox, who speaks a lot about aliens and some of the things happening there. And I sort of look at all that and I check in with my own guides, and they continually say, yes, change is absolute. Yes, all of this. This is a very big year. This is a very big time. Absolutely, enlightenment is happening at a much, much accelerated space. There's also a lot more people, I think, making transition into their next lives or wherever they're going to be right now at this time. But they continually say things like, more of the same. This is just a part of the continuum. And I think actually you said it best, Robert, of, you know, yes, it is changing. Yes, it is changing. And so doing the best we can to just open into that, letting fear go and letting the need to understand the absolute order of things go, and just being in the mystery, just being in the mystery, and that's sort of what we're here to experience. So, yeah. And then I'd also like to, we didn't talk about this at all, but I think folks with, we do a lot of music with the band Martyrs of Sound, a lot of really exquisite healing music. So if folks haven't had a chance to dive into that, just to check out that website, Martyrs of Sound, because there's some really great healing music that is very useful to put on for yoga or massage or meditation or whatever it is that, you know, if you're doing those kind of practices, that my partner Steve has created. So that's just a real good resource for folks.
Well, we'll have that on the website with the interview.
Okay, wonderful.
I would like to thank Sarah Weissman for joining us today. And for more information on Sarah and her very, very accessible work, please visit sarahweissman.com. And we'll have that link and so a musical link on the Light Transitions website, along with the interview with Sarah. So, Sarah, I want to thank you so very, very much. It was so wonderful to speak with you on a number of levels, specifically your ability to translate and allow information to be gifted in the way you do is just extremely heartwarming, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I want to thank you just for having me so much. And I have a feeling, since we are tending to wander the same corners of the earth, that we'll be meeting in person in the next year. I'm just greatly looking forward to that. That'll be super fun. And I'm sure we'll be laughing then, too.
I don't think it's going to be a year.
I know. Maybe this fall or something. Who knows? Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. Well, thank you. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.